Hello, everyone. Welcome to Is Farm Ecology Difficult podcast. And today we are continuing with the little long back left crash course. And we are continuing with the topic Autonomic Nervous System Part 2. So we had done till the slight indication of the classification and the name of the drugs. Today I will be taking the description of these drugs. Well, the cholinergic drugs, they can be directly acting drugs, they can be indirectly acting drugs. The directly acting drugs, they are actually the esters of the choline. So, they are natural alkaloids like acetylcholine, muscarine, nicotine, pilocarpine, arecholine. They can be synthetic derivatives like methacholine, carbachol, and bethanecol. So let's get to know a little detail about, very brief detail about each of the drugs. What is their basic action? Acetylcholine is not used clinically. It is metabolized very quickly by cholesterase in the plasma. And that is why it is actually kind of ineffective, even if given by the intravenous route. Next, let's get to know about the methacholine. Methacholine, it has a very well-proven action on the heart muscle, that is myocardium. Route of administration can be inhalational. It is used for the diagnosis of bronchial hyperreactivity in patients, especially in the patients who are not showing signs and symptoms clinically of bronchial asthma. So they are prone to give the methacholine challenge test. Bethanecol is having a good proven action on the urinary bladder. It has no nicotinic activity. As far as pilocarpine and sevimeline is concerned, they are used to treat the dry mouth associated with the Sjögren's syndrome, and that is caused by the radiation damage of the salivary glands. Another use of pilocarpine is in glaucoma. Why? Because it has a kind of constricting action on the pupil, that is meiotic action. But it has very short duration of action, so intraocular tension, it can rise even if you miss one or two doses. And last but not the least, carbachol, it has a combined or common action on nicotinic and muscarinic receptors. So that is all about basically the brief details of these directly acting drugs, both natural alkaloids and synthetic. Now, I to tell you about the indirectly acting drugs. Indirectly acting drugs, the basic mechanism is to inhibit the enzyme acetylcholine esterase, and by doing so, they increase the availability and prolong the action of acetylcholine. So these drugs, the other name is anticholinesterases, and the inhibition can be reversible or irreversible. As far as the reversible anticholinesterases are concerned, the drugs are physostigmine, neostigmine, pyridostigmine, edrofonium, tacrine, donepezil, galantamine, and rivastigmine. And they inhibit the enzyme acetylcholine esterase reversibly. And they, that is by doing so, they prolong the duration of action of acetylcholine. Let's talk about the specific actions. Physostigmine is basically naturally occurring tertiary amine. It is lipid soluble. Other ones, they are tacrine, donepezil, rivastigmine, galantamine. They are also lipid soluble. And all other reversible anticholinesterases, they are not tertiary, but they are quaternary compounds. They are lipid insoluble, apart from the ones that I've told you. So physostigmine, I told you, has a very high lipid solubility. It can be given orally, and because of the same reason, it can cross the brain, that is a blood-brain barrier. It can also pass via the corneal membrane. But the lipid-insoluble compounds, they are not to be given orally. They cannot pass or enter the CNS or the eye. Okay? That is the difference in the quaternary and the tertiary amine structures. What about the users? Physostigmine is used in glaucoma as a neurotic drug, in belladonna, atropine poisoning, it is a very prominent specific antidote. So that is the master features of physostigmine. Talking about neostigmine, it is the drug of choice for myasthenia gravis. It has no adverse effects in the central nervous system. Why? Because it's a quaternary structure. It will not cross the blood-brain barrier. It has a direct neuromuscular receptor agonistic action. And for the same reason, it can be used in cobra bite. The cobra venom, it contains the compounds which cause skeletal muscle paralysis. So it can be used in cobra bite. Other uses of neostigmine are post-operative paralytic ileus, atonia of the urinary bladder, and also the reversal of competitive skeletal muscle relaxants. So these are the uses of neostigmine. Let's talk about pyridostigmine. It has a longer duration of action than neostigmine. It can be used for all the same indications that neostigmine is used. We can add atropine to neostigmine therapy, especially when the action is required, direct action is required on the NM receptors. So what is the use of adding atropine? That is to avoid the adverse effects due to muscarinic receptor stimulation. And that we can add in the therapy for cobra bite. We can add in the therapy for myasthenia gravis. So use of neostigmine and pyridostigmine can be muscarinic. When they are used for muscarinic uses, they are atropine is not added, like post-operative paralytic ileus and post-operative urinary retention. But when they are used for nicotinic purposes, the atropine is added, like in myasthenia gravis, cobra bite, and also to reverse the non-depolarizing muscle relaxants. Let's talk about edrofonium. Edrofonium is basically a very short-acting synthetic anticholinesterase. Its basic use is in the diagnosis of myasthenia gravis. It is given 1 to 2 milligram intravenous. That improves the skeletal muscle activity if there is myasthenia gravis and the weakness is due to myasthenia gravis. If the myasthenia gravis is not the diagnosis or it is absent, then the condition will be worsened because of the cholinergic crisis. So this particular whole test of testing the myasthenia gravis, it is known as tensilon test. Let's talk about another drug, tacrine. Tacrine is a drug of choice for Alzheimer's disease, but it has a lot of limitations. What are the limitations? It has to be given very frequently as far as the dosing schedule is concerned. It also shows hepatotoxicity, diarrhea, other side effects. So now we have better drugs like donepezil, rivastigmine, galantamine. They are the preferred drugs now. Rivastigmine has been approved both in the dementia treatment in Alzheimer's disease, also in the treatment in Parkinsonism disease. Let's talk about irreversible anticholinesterases. The main groups are organophosphates, like drugs like malathion, parathion, ecothiophate, chlorpyrifos, nerve gases like tabunsarin and soman. They are in the organophosphates. Deflos is also another drug. Another group is carbamates. There are two drugs, carbaryl and propoxir. Now, these drugs, they are not used therapeutically. Only one of the drugs, that is ecothiophate, is used, that is used in glaucoma. What about the use of the other drugs? They are used as insecticides, pesticides, and they can also cause poisoning. Now, talking about the anticholinesterase poisoning, well, the sign symptoms are simply extensions of the pharmacological actions of acetylcholine. And what signs and symptoms can you expect in such cases? Pinpoint pupil, salivation, lacrimation, sweating, bronchoconstriction, urination, diarrhea, hypertension, bradycardia, coma, etc. Now, blood pressure and heart rate sometimes really increases when the nicotinic receptors, they are stimulated. What is the treatment or the drug of choice? The antidote of choice for organophosphate and carbamate poisoning is atropine, always. Other add-on drugs that are used nowadays, they are enzyme reactivators like pralidoxime, obidoxime, diacetyl monoxime, etc. What is their function? They regenerate the acetylcholinesterase, and especially they are very useful on organophosphate poisoning, but they are not useful, or rather they are contraindicated in the carbamate poisoning. What is the reason? The indications of oxazolines, they are muscle weakness and respiratory depression. So what happens in carbamate poisoning? Why they are contraindicated? The site on which the oxazolines on which they bind and they reactivate the enzyme that is known as the anionic site. That site is not free in carbamate poisoning, but it is free in organophosphate poisoning. The organophosphates, they only bind to esteretic site, but carbamates, they bind to both anionic site and the esteretic site. That is the one reason that we don't give oximes in carbamate poisoning. Another reason, oximes themselves possess an acetylcholinesterase inhibitory action. So for the same reason, they are not useful in carbamate poisoning. Specific features of oximes, diacetyl monooxime, it can cross the blood-brain barrier and regenerate acetylcholinesterase in the brain. On the other hand, pralidoxime and obidoxime, they cannot cross the blood-brain barrier. Then sometimes exposure to organophosphates like triorthoprosylphosphate, which is actually a kind of additive in lubricating oil, it sometimes shows certain side effects like delayed neuropathy. Delayed neuropathy is appearing in 1 to 2 weeks after the exposure that is associated with the demyelination of axons. And it is the reason or the cause behind the delayed neuropathy is not cholinesterase inhibition, but there's some other reason like neuropathy target esterase, that is capital NTE inhibition. Another adverse effect is intermediate syndrome, which occurs 1 to 4 days after. That is caused by the cholinesterase inhibition. So these are the two side effects that may be seen when there is a chronic exposure to triorthoprosylphosphate. So these are basic points about cholinergic drugs. Now we can just summarize the use of cholinergic drugs. First, muscarinic uses include glaucoma. The drugs are pilocarpine, phytostigmine, eicothiophate. Alzheimer's disease, the drugs are tacrine, donepezil, rivastigmine, galantamine. Another use, belladonna poisoning, the drug is physostigmine. Another use is Sjogren syndrome, the drugs are pilocarpine, sevimeline. Then another use is diagnosis of bronchial hyperreactivity, the drug is methacholine. Then another muscarinic use is post-operative. Then paralytic ileus, the drugs are bethanecol, neostigmine. And in case of post-operative urinary retention, the drugs are bethanecol and neostigmine. That is all about the muscarinic uses. Talking about the nicotinic uses, the first one is the reversal of muscle relaxants. The drugs are neostigmine and pyridostigmine. The second one is the cobra bite. Again, the drugs are neostigmine and pyridostigmine. And then we have myasthenia gravis. In the diagnosis of the myasthenia gravis, eicothiophate is useful. In the treatment, we have neostigmine and pyridostigmine. So that was a good account of the cholinergic drugs. Let's talk about the entire cholinergic drugs. Well, talking about the entire cholinergic drugs, they block the muscarinic or the anti-muscarinic or the nicotinic receptors. And the drugs that block the NM receptors, they are known as the neuromuscular blockers, while the drug that block the NN receptors, they are known as the ganglionic blockers. So just talking about the drugs, first of all, I'm going to talk about the atropine, the anhyosine. Atropine is obtained from Atropa belladonna, and scopolamine, that is L-hyoscine, is a natural alkaloid. Both are non-selective antagonists at the muscarinic receptors. Then talk about the actions of the anti-muscarinic agents. Well, first of all, in this, I will talk about the actions on the CNS, and the drugs are atropine and hyoscine. Atropine is basically a CNS stimulant. Scopolamine is a CNS depressant. Due to the amnesic and CNS depressant action, the hyoscine causes a kind of a twilight sleep. Now, this has been used as a lie detector or truth serum in the suspects. Then scopolamine is also available as transdermal patches. And then it is applied behind the pinna. It is used for the prevention of the motion sickness. The drug of choice for the prophylaxis of motion sickness is not scopolamine, but acetazolamide. That is a note point you should always remember. Then there are central anticholinergic drugs like trihexyphenidyl, benzhexol. Other drugs are benztropine, bipedin. They are the drug of choice and used for the treatment of drug-induced Parkinsonism. Now, recently, on a botulinum toxin A, that is a kind of a drug which has been approved by FDA that is useful in preventing the headaches, especially in adult patients who are suffering from chronic migraine. Now, talking about the actions of the atropine drugs, I have the anticholinergic actions. The anticholinergic drugs in the eye, they cause mydriasis and cyclopegia. The congeners of atropine are ometropine, cyclopentolate, tropicamide. All these are used as mydriatic and cycloplegic agents. What is the use of mydriatic action? That is, the use is in fundus examination. That is, the maximum part of the retina can be seen. Cycloplegia is very useful. It allows in the correct assessment of the refractive error. And pain in iridocyclitis. What is the reason of this pain? That is due to the spasm of the ciliary muscles, and that can also be relieved by the cycloplegia. Now, features of atropine. Atropine has a long duration of action, so it is avoided in adults. And hyoscine possesses also cycloplegic action. It is a more potent mydriatic, but duration of action is also very long, like atropine, a little less than atropine. Tropicamide, on the other hand, is a very short-acting mydriatic. And one common feature of anticholinergic drugs, they are all contraindicated in glaucoma. Talking about the action on the cardiovascular system, atropine causes bradycardia, especially due to the inhibition of the presynaptic M2 receptors. But if you increase the dose, then tachycardia occurs due to the postsynaptic inhibition of the M2 receptors. Atropine has been found useful in arrhythmias like AV block, digitalis, induced bradycardia, and it has rather no effect on the blood pressure and cardiac contractility. Talking about the effect on the respiratory system, anticholinergic drugs, they can reverse the bronchoconstriction, which is caused by the stimulation of the M3 receptors. And what are the drugs useful here? Ipratropium bromide, tiotropium bromide. They are the muscarinic receptor antagonists, which are useful in the treatment of chronic obstructive pulmonary diseases like COPD. And also they're useful in bronchial asthma. Ipratropium has a kind of a non-selective action. Tiotropium is very selective to M1 and M3 receptors. Another drug, glycopyrrolate, is very useful as pre-anesthetic medication. And that is how it decreases the secretions and the reflex bronchospasm, especially during the general anesthesia. Talking about the gastrointestinal tract, anticholinergic drug decreases the motility, tone, and secretions in the gastrointestinal tract. The drugs are the pirenzepine, telenzepine. They are selective M1 blockers. They are very useful in peptic ulcer disease. Hyoscine, dicyclomine, propanthiolene, oxyphenonium, clidinium, they are useful antispasmodic agents and very useful in the treatment of intestinal colic. Darifenacin, solifenacine, they are selective M3 blockers, very useful in irritable bowel syndrome and overactive bladder. Talking about the genitourinary tract, anticholinergic drug decreases the motility of urinary tract, and that will result in urinary retention. So they are contraindicated in BPH, benign prostatic hyperplasia. The drugs are dicyclomine, flavoxate, oxybutynin. They are useful for the treatment of urinary incontinence and renal colic. Tolterodine, fesoterodine, which is a prodrug of tolterodine. Then difenacetin, solifenacetin, that is selective M3 antagonists. They are also very useful in urinary incontinence. Then let's talk about other group of drugs, oxybutynin. It has a risk of dry mouth, and it also shows anticholinergic adverse effects. trospium, it has a kind of very less CNS penetration because it's a quaternary structure. So it has a lesser risk of causing impairment of cognition. It is very safe in elderly people. So it is the only drug that can be used with acetylcholine esterase inhibitors. Other drugs, tolerodine, sorlifenacin, daridorexant, they are vesicoselective M3 antagonists. They do not block the M1 muscarinic receptors, and they can also be used safely in elderly people and cognitive impaired people. Trospium is a special drug which is not metabolized by liver. It can be safely used with CYP inhibitors. Oxybutynin is very short acting, rather the shortest acting. Sorlifenacin is the longest acting drug. Mirabegron, Vibegron, they are newer drugs which are approved for overactive bladder, and they stimulate the beta-3 receptors. Sometimes intra-bladder injection of botulinum toxin can be done in the refractory cases. Other kind of therapies like behavioral therapy is very good treatment for overactive bladder. And in this case, the anti-muscarinic drugs, they are second-line treatment. Any anti-muscarinic drug can be used because the efficacy is very similar. Extended release formulations, immediate release formulations, they are available, but we prefer extended release formulations. Then in the glands, the anticholinergic drug decreases secretions and causes dry mouth, reduce sweating, salivation, lacrimation. Atropine is contraindicated in children due to the risk of hyperthermia. Hyperthermia occurs due to decreased sweating. Botulinum toxin type A approved for the treatment of strabismus, blepharospasm, cervical dystonia, glabellar lines. Botulinum toxin type B is very useful in cervical dystonia. Monobotulinum toxin A can prevent the headaches in adult patients with chronic migraine. Prabotulinum toxin A also inhibits the release of acetylcholine. It is given intramuscular for temporary treatment of glabellar lines. Rimabotulinum toxin B inhibits the release of acetylcholine. It is directly injected into salivary glands for the treatment of chronic sialorrhea. Atropine is a drug of choice for early mushroom poisoning that is caused by the Inosype species, but it is contraindicated in the poisoning due to Amanita muscaria. Another drug, thiotic acid, is very useful for late mushroom poisoning, which is caused by the Amanita phalloides species. Then atropine is also a drug of choice for organophosphate poisoning, carbamate poisoning. Atropine can be used with neostigmine during Myasthenia gravis and cobra bite treatment. And atropine can also be added to diphenoxylate, that is anti-motility drug, to reduce its addictive potential. Adverse effects of the anticholinergic drugs, they are dry mouth, blurred vision. Blurred vision is due to mydriasis and cyclopletia. Then urinary retention, constipation, hyperthermia, confusion, restlessness, delirium, etc. Anticholinergic drugs, they are contraindicated absolutely in glaucoma and benign prostatic hyperplasia. That was an account of the cholinergic drugs, anticholinergic drugs. Next, we're going to start with the sympathetic nervous system. That's all for today. Thank you. Take care. Bye.